Wake up!
Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to begin boarding. If we could ask for your cooperation, would you all please remain seated?
Well, how'd you sleep last night?
I don't believe that's any of your business.
If you go to a Bansy Fall and you want to have a prance and Hansel all in fub with you, don't forget to slop your dripper.
Mr. Nightlinger, what's for breakfast?
Dude, apples, bacon, and biscuits.
Well, forget the apples. Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go.
You're on the high ground with Craig Flowers.
What up, Johnny O, buddy? Let's go.
Let's ready to roll.
Good morning, Texas. Good morning, Austin. Welcome from the banks of 360. This is the high ground. Usually with Colonel Flowers and Commander Jamie, they're out today. I'll be shotgun captain today here of the high ground. We're going to go over our sponsors first. Johnny, what's going on in there, buddy? Just want to give you a little shout out.
Hey, appreciate it. Nothing much. Just another day in paradise.
Good deal. Good deal. All right. Well, we're going to go over our first sponsor here, Sportsman's Finest. Go see Nicholas Vitro out there for all your fly fishing needs, archery, apparel, gunsmith, whatever you need outdoors. Tents. I know there's a... Boy, I've seen a lot of tents.
True.
But anyways, guys, go out there and see Nicholas Vitro out there on Bee Caves. That's 12434 Bee Caves Road. That's sportsmansfinest.com. Go check them out. They've got everything you need if you're an outdoorsman, and they are the greatest in Austin and in Texas. Their gunsmith's great, their archery guy, everything. Just get over there. Our other sponsor is Chizos Boots, the boot that fits like a leather slipper. We got Will Roman, the Chief Texan, over there on South 1st Street. I think it's 3707 South 1st Street. If I'm wrong, you guys look it up. I didn't have that written down today. But anyways, Will's got the boots 1 through 5. They are literally the greatest boots in the world, in the galaxy. These are the boots that Elon will land on Mars with. We're going to get Chizos on Mars. That will be the first real footprint. What do you think about that, Johnny O? No?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. We'll see how that goes. Anyways, y'all go check out Chizos Boots over there on South 1st Street, and tell them the high ground sent you. Another little small shout-out. Hey, guys, if y'all are dirty and you need your clothes clean, just give Jack Brown Cleaners a call, and call Casey Laney over there at the, our home delivery route. Just get on Google. You know what to do. Type in some words and figure it out. Next, we're going to go on to some horn shout-outs. We've got some stuff going on in the horn world this weekend. Rod and Aaron Hogan will be over at the Moon Tower Saloon this afternoon, I think at around 2:30, watching the Austin FC, cheering on our local new sports club, Major League Soccer. So get over there and go hang out with the crew. And then also Rod and Stewart with the NASCAR, man. They'll be doing some week-long NASCAR coverage, and it's brought to you by Busch Light and AMM Collision. So get out there, guys, and go watch some NASCAR, go watch some soccer, and let's get it on here. I got a good buddy in here. His name's Brent Dickey. He's a little local legend, little Texas Longhorn. Won a Westlake State title in 1984 in baseball. He knows all thing UT football. I just want to say, hey, what's up, man? Welcome back to the studio today. How are you doing?
Hey, Willie Brown, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic, man. What do you think about this beautiful, well, it's actually jury day on the banks of the 360.
I'm just hoping it cleans up tomorrow for our golf game.
So. I agree. Well, I'm so glad to have you in the studio today. I want to give one shout out to our buddy Matt Gresson, who is starting the Lost Ball Foundation charity through May. For every lost ball that will be lost at Onion Creek Country Club, Maddie Gressens will be donating a window to every lost ball out there, mostly because those broken windows are from him. So anyways, obviously I'm being sarcastic. Maddie, we love you out there. Keep spraying them all over the place.
That's right. He's going to need to have a better job.
I know, right? He better sell. I wonder if he can invent a robot that prevents a slice or a hook into somebody's backyard.
No, I don't see it on. I don't see it for him anyway.
What do you think, buddy? What do you want to talk about today? We've got a lot going on in the World of Sports?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm always a junkie for Longhorn football. So let's talk some recruiting.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's start. What do you have first on your notes here? I know Texas has kind of been, you know, the Sark's had, we've got two different recruiting philosophies here. We got one that's coming out of high school and then one's coming out of the portal. What are you leading with first here? The guys coming out of high school or the guys coming out of the portal?
Well, let's go high school first. You know, the most interesting thing I read was a kid named DeAnthony Gatson, running back. And I guess he would be RB2 if there's such a mm-hmm. thing. You know, they've already got Jaden Blue committed and seems like, you know, he's kind of a natural RB2, so that's exciting. And then, you know, on the offensive line front, kid named Cameron Williams, kid named Devon Campbell, both of them very, very highly recruited. And anyway, we'll see. But, you know, at the end of the day, they really got to do something on the offensive line this year.
I hear that, man. Yeah. I hear that. And so we were talking earlier about the transfer portal with D1 coming in, and we've noticed that Sark hasn't gotten one offensive guy on out of the portal, has he?
No, not to my knowledge. I think I think they've had at least three linebackers. I think they wanted another one who I think is going to go to Ohio State. And I'll butcher his name, so I'm not going to try to say it.
Yeah, but if you have to look in a dictionary.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, obviously, when they got here, they didn't believe they had the defensive people they needed. So they spent all their time in the transfer portal on that.
Heck, they can almost get a starting 11 out of all the people they've transferred over. I think the bulk of the transfers on the defensive side have been in the linebacker defensive backside, right?
Yeah, they have. And they've got another kid that's transferring or in the portal from Vanderbilt, Donovan Kaufman, who they're pretty, or it seems like people are, believe that he's going to recruit, or he's going to commit, and we'll see. but yeah,
and so. It's interesting, they got that kid from McNeese State coming in.
Yeah,
you heard about that? Like he's actually had some NFL what would you say, NFL grade out of the FBS.
Yeah, and he's a cornerback, right?
Yeah, I think he's a cornerback or safety, but he's going to come here and get a lot of film, and hopefully he's somebody that can step in and start and help.
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting. You know, obviously Coach K runs a different scheme just like they all do, so he know what he needs, and he needed linebackers, and feels like he needs some help in the secondary.
Yeah, how long will it be until Longhorn fans are mad that we have 11 linebackers on the field at the same time?
It's called tomorrow.
It's called tomorrow, exactly. But hasn't that kind of been the whole defensive, the bugaboo, the thing? You know, what do you say, like?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same old, same old. Yeah. You know, Longhorn fans are mad at it every single day.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's all we do is cheer for a coach to be fired and a second string quarterback.
That's right. That's right. That's right. But I always wonder, it's like every time we get innovative on defense, it's like, where's Greg Robinson? Hey, can we get four down linemen and three linebackers and four defensive backs and just say, hey, man, we've got better talent on this side of the ball. We're just going to keep it simple.
Well, I was at that BYU game.
Oh, my God.
They didn't even – I'm not sure they let Manny Diaz get back on the plane.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, if you watch that game, every time Taysom Hill got the ball, the middle linebacker ran off the field.
He didn't want any part of that.
No. I was like, what kind of defensive scheme is this? Middle linebacker goes sideways, left and right, and the quarterback just goes up the field.
Yeah, I mean, it turns out he's a pretty good player.
I think, like, at halftime, I'd be like, Manny, let's put three linebackers all in the middle of the field where Taysom's running to.
Yeah, and that was the game. There was a huge rainstorm beforehand, so it delayed it like 2 hours. So that was probably what happened.
So Taysom had only 400 yards instead of 500 because of the rain?
Exactly, yeah. They started running the clock.
Speaking of games, you've been to probably more games than most people I know.
Yeah, I've been to my fair share. My brother has been to more than I have. But
Your brother played for the Longhorns.
He did. He was a kicker back in, say, 92. Uh-huh.
We have Dicker the kicker now. He was the OG Dicky the Kicky.
Yeah, no, he wasn't the tallest kid on the planet. Yeah. So he was number 22, and when he put his jersey on, you know, the two down at the bottom.
Yeah.
Did so we just called him. Yeah, we call him Humpback Humpback. We couldn't see 22.
Did it look like he had a couple of question marks on his back?
Everybody's wondering what he was doing out there.
They weren't running fakes with him back there as kicker, right?
No. And he was probably the last barefooty kicker I ever saw.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. Yeah. That's great. What fun history.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. 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 Well, we've got golf coming up next week, too. Don't we have the PGA Championship?
I believe so.
And the Byron Nelson going on right now.
Yeah. The Byron Nelson. I mean, you know, I'm a big Jordan Spieth fan.
Oh,
so
me, too. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. He's in the mix.
Well, that was fun to watch. Okay. So he got his first win at the Valero in, what, 3.5 years?
Yeah. Something like that.
And so many people have literally kind of written him off.
Yeah, and I'm going to put me in that class in some respects.
Yeah, so me
just,
too.
Yeah.
And I'm the biggest fanboy.
No, and I am too. And, you know, what I heard is he actually got COVID, so he had to take, say, a month off recently or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, his quote-unquote is, you know, my game's rusty. I mean, I wish my game was that rusty.
And you shoot a 63?
Yeah, exactly.
He went 63-70. I think he finished third or fourth in the Masters.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
his
game is getting there to that level again where Jordan does Jordan things, and I'm pretty excited about that.
No, and I mean, you know, I love golf. You know, the weird thing is Koepka, you know, and I guess they all go through it, you know, but I mean, Koepka was to the point where I was like, God, he's going to win everything.
And Koepka kind of got a little arrogant there, didn't he? That little comment, you know?
Yeah, he runs his mouth a little bit too much, maybe.
So. That's all right with me, I mean, I guess. So. Yeah, well, if you can win four majors in a couple of years, you run your mouth a little bit, but you better watch out, because what was it at the U.S. Open?
Yeah,
I think he ran his mouth.
About DJ, I think.
Or something, yeah. Or he was basically saying, I'm the only one up here with, you know, any major experience. And I think it was the one where Morikawa won.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I think at one point he said, there's only, like, 8 guys that can beat me out here.
Yeah,
And I was like, all right.
Well, that's cool, man.
Good for you.
All right. Get out there. Do it.
Yeah. So, but at one point, I think he was right.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah, for a good 2-year stretch. And you can kind of say that about Jordan there for a little bit early in his career. I mean, there was between the ages of 22 and 24, I mean, he was up there on the leaderboard just about every tournament you turned on.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, his putting back then, I mean, he just everything he looked at went in. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I remember the British Open, you know, when he sank that eagle putt and told his caddy to go get the ball.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
That was good stuff.
I think I saw a few mimosas fly in the air that early morning when that putt went in, didn't it?
Yeah, over at the Dickey House.
Yeah, maybe so. I'll tell you, yeah, that's what mimosas for every British Open.
That's it.
You got to get up at 5 a.m.
Which is no problem since I go to bed at 8.
And honestly, I love the contrasting of the U.S. Open now. Something, you know, they do it on Fox, and when they do the West Coast thing, you can get to work and get home and watch a full 18 holes of golf and just and have a blast too.
Yeah, absolutely. Where's the PGA this year?
You know what? I really don't know, and I am so unprepared for that. I brought it in. I know, like I know that they changed the schedule,
right?
Because it used to be the last event, and now they're bringing it in early.
That's
remember,
right.
They changed the schedule around.
They did do
and
that.
Everything's kind of mixed up because the last two majors have been the Masters, right?
Yeah,
you went Masters,
yeah,
Masters,
they had it in the fall,
and then you have the PGA coming up.
Yeah,
and so obviously, I'm sure we'll have the same favorites with the PGA. I'll look it up on the break where it's at and where it's at and all that stuff.
Perfect.
How are we looking over there, Johnny Oates?
We're looking pretty good. We're pretty
awesome,
good. But how
awesome.
About we take a little quick little break?
Let's do that. We'll catch y'all on the flip side of the high ground.
Views expressed on this program do not reflect those of the Horn or any other sane human being.
I love the nightlife, I love my Bud Light, I like them cold and tall. I ain't much on mowing thick grass, I'm too slow for working too fast. I don't do windows, so honey, don't ask.
What's up, Austin? This is Will back with the High Ground. I was actually really too good at drinking beer that I had to stop and retire. Anyways, in about 15 minutes, we will have Colonel calling in from the Aired Out Academy in Abilene. to give us updates on what's going out there. And we're back here with Brent Dickey talking all things sports, local, national, whatever we want to talk about. Let's go, man. Let's get into the too early preseason college football poll.
Okay.
Most of these things I've read has Oklahoma being number one and the favorites to win it all. You mind turning off your computer?
Oh,
it's mine. Go ahead. Okay, yeah. We're back.
Yeah.
Anyways, what do you think about the too early to tell preseason polls?
Well, you know, I mean, Oklahoma's number one in the first ESPN poll, which, you know, I don't know how you think Alabama's not number one, personally. I mean, until Oklahoma proves they can beat the big boys.
Oklahoma's not won a Final Four game, have they?
I don't believe so. I
mean, but they've been there a handful, four times.
They have, but they, you know, they get beat. And don't get me wrong, I do not like Oklahoma. So, you know, the fact that they're doing well at anything bugs me.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And you know what really bugs me is the fact that they kicked Texas' booty in the transfer portal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they took whoever they wanted.
Is it Oklahoma Volunteers next year? Or is it the Tennessee Sooners we'll be rooting for?
That's,
I mean, I feel like they combined an SEC school with already a great Oklahoma team.
Yeah, I mean, they took all of Tennessee's top talent. I don't know how Tennessee's going to have a team. Everybody transferred.
Yeah. I guess that's what happens. You know, Tennessee's been that's been bad for so long, and I grew up and Tennessee was always kind of like a blue chip.
Yeah,
Phil Fulmer, and then I mean, if you think Texas has it bad after Mack left, Tennessee's had it worse.
It does. I mean, it always feels better, worse. You know, I went to Texas in the '80s, which I thought was the worst time because it was there '86 to '90. It took a 5-year plan.
But that's okay. I'm still working on my plan.
But you know, we went through. You know, God, when I got there, it was, you know, Fire Fred.
Yeah.
And then it was, you know, McWilliams.
Yep.
And then, you know, McAvoy.
Yeah.
And then finally we got Mack Brown. But, you know, the thing I realized is, gosh, it's hard to find a good coach.
You know what's funny, though? We gripe about coaches, but Fire Fred played basically for two national titles, right?
Oh, he did. 83. Yeah.
I mean, McAvoy, you know, won the last Southwest Conference and the first Big 12, right?
Exactly.
I mean, the expectations up here, you know, 9 wins is so disappointing, right? 8 wins is so disappointing.
Well, God, I got to the point where 10 wins was disappointing under Mac, you know? Just like, you know, God, guys,
I remember that. 10 wins.
It's just like we didn't win the national championship. What the heck?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of, you know, that's what Alabama will be experiencing if they ever not win 11 or 12 games.
I get it. I just, you know, it's hard to follow up, you know, a great coach. It just is. It rarely happens, although Oklahoma's done it.
Oh, God, yeah, they have.
Ohio State's done it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hopefully not.
But their models have been interesting. They've kept it in the house.
Yeah, they did. Both of them did. And, you know, both, you know, you can argue by why Urban quit.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it seemed like...
But we can all admit Lincoln Riley is a coach in waiting.
I think so.
And it actually worked. That's one of the few times it's worked, a coach in waiting.
Yeah, well, I mean, gosh, how many first-round draft picks has he had he's been there?
Yeah, I mean, like, well... Just his quarterback room is unbelievable.
Yeah, and then, you know, if you're a kid that, you know, is a good quarterback, you just transfer there. I mean,
did you read about Jimbo Fisher's speech to the booster club in Houston?
I did.
And did you see Nick Saban's response to that?
I did say that. It said, what, a golf?
Hey, what did he say? Jimbo said, we're going to beat Nick Saban's butt or something like that. And
exactly.
Nick goes, what, in golf? I love that.
No, it's greatness. You know, I guess they're good friends.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, they're on the same staff together, I think, at LSU or something like that.
Right.
But, you know, it was funny because... You know, Nick is like a Belichick guy, right?
Right.
He's a man of few words. You're not going to get much out of him. But when he kind of makes, you know, a little comedian coming out of him in that moment.
Absolutely. No, it was good stuff, know.
Yeah. But, you know, the other rival, the Aggies, you do got to admit they've put together some good stuff over there.
Yeah. You can't, you know, Jimbo's done a really good job. Recruiting-wise, for sure. You know, they haven't got over the hump, but I think they were number 7 in that poll.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they were top 5 last year.
You know, their thing, you know, they've got to figure out their running back and quarterback. I know they got that guy, was it Haynes King?
Yeah, I'm not sure who their quarterback's going
to be. And he's supposed to be a pretty good stud, but always breaking in a new guy, you just never know. And I know they had some, you know, I want to say they lost some help on the offensive line.
Yeah, I think their running back room's really strong, supposedly.
But I think that's, you know, as much as I hate it, you know, A&M's looking like the team to kind of maybe challenge Alabama over there in the SEC.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, say what you want, but their move to the SEC has worked out,
yeah.
You know, from a football perspective. Yeah.
I went and had lunch with Matt Jesse a couple weeks ago when he was in town.
Yeah.
And he was talking about Mac, and he was so disappointed. He said they would have killed A&M, and what was it, the Orange Bowl they played in?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I think they were starting to walk on running backs in the game. The North Carolina, I think, had two NFL running backs, and they decided to sit out.
Yeah,
and
they opted out.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, man, that was the first bowl game where I was actually rooting really hard. First of all, like, I love Mac, you know.
Yeah,
I was rooting hard for him, and then they're playing A&M.
Right. No, that's an easy cheer.
Yeah, like I've never rooted for another team besides UT that hard in a really long time.
Yeah, no, that was a big game for me too. So.
Well, if you could do like an early top Final Four for next year, where do you go?
Oh, God.
Sound like you stray too far out of the box, do you?
I just don't see Alabama, Georgia, and Clemson, you know.
Even with new quarterbacks.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Alabama's just going to be Alabama. Mm-hmm. Clemson, I kind of just feel like, you know, at the end of the day, those guys have been recruiting better than everybody else. And they've got good coaching, and, you know, when you have better players and good coaching, it tends to work out.
Yeah, and we watched the backup for Trevor Lawrence play Notre Dame.
Oh,
he's not
right.
A slouch, yeah. Man. That kid's huge, man. Yeah.
I'd love to have their slouches.
Oh, yeah. I would love to. And I think the kid from Westlake is going there, too.
Oh, that's right.
Is that his name, Klubnik? Cade Klubnik or something like that. I think he's going to go play for Dabo.
Clemson? Yeah, I didn't hear that, but... God, it could be worse places to go. I know that.
So. I'm sure somebody on the text line will probably correct me.
Well, that's fine.
On all this stuff.
They'll correct both of us because we don't know that much. So.
Yeah, That's right. Well, there's a lot of stuff going on. You've got baseball, baseball postseason.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to get to Colonel here in a few minutes, and he's going to run down some baseball, some Southwest or... I say Southwest Conference still, like, because Colonel's got me saying Southwest Conference. That's kind of like the prime time of baseball. He grew up in that age.
Oh, yeah, he's old school, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, he was obviously a player, man. You don't get to play for TCU unless you can play.
Yeah, and I like how he's, because, you know, a lot of my, you know, sports life as a kid and stuff, we're in the 80s and stuff like that. And we used to go to a bunch of the games at Dish Falk.
Oh, yeah.
And we used to go watch all those good ball teams and stuff. And that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, growing up in the 80s, it was heyday of Texas baseball.
Yeah, it was College World Series. Well, I mean, it's always heyday, it seems like, for baseball. But in that time period, I mean, they legitimately probably could have run off three national titles.
Yeah, they were second, I think, three times in the late 80s.
And I think they were second when they were doing the one-game series, too. There's a lot of those College World Series where they had gone, like, undefeated into the championship game.
And then lost.
And I think now you get a two out of three.
Correct.
There were some of those years, you know, projecting if they had a two out of three game, they probably would have added the national title.
That was kind of silly back then to have a one-game final. You know, I mean, baseball is
such
baseball. A tricky game.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Like
everybody's got the greatest pitcher, but, you know, sometimes you got the greatest pitcher, they win.
Yeah, exactly. And you play three-game series all year.
Absolutely.
So you should end it with a three-game series.
Well, and they do that now, and so they fixed it. But, yeah, wasn't good back then.
Well, Pierce is doing some great things over there, and we're really excited about it. And when we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to have Colonel here, and we're going to discuss some college baseball and what's going on at their Aerodot Academy.
This is Trace Atkins wishing my friend Craig Flowers all the best in Austin, Texas. I'll see you on the high ground.
What's up, Trace? We're going to have Colonel come in calling in here, and we got him right now, don't we?
He seems to have gone through a tunnel, so we will get him in momentarily.
It's okay. We can entertain the masses while we figure that out. Well, what's going on, buddy? We've got a little technical glitch in the system, so.
Well, we're going to talk baseball, right?
So. We were. Is Colonel on the, is he on the line?
Guys, good morning.
What's up, buddy? How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. It's a little clear here in Abilene and 70 degrees. We've got a lot of great quarterbacks and receivers out here. A couple of things I wanted to get to. I've been listening all morning and listening to the Big Ugly Tailgate as well. Interesting side note here, the Big O, Octavius Bishop, Dr. Bishop, went from essentially being let go by the prior football administration at the 40 Acres without a face-to-face conversation, rehired full-time by the University of Texas, rightly so, and now is sitting on the dais, on the stage at graduation as an epitome of what one can do if they stick with it, the hard work, perseverance, all of that stuff. So what a success story. Octavius Bishop, now full-time on the staff in the University of Texas and invited to sit on the stage with all the regalia. Dude. Really proud of the Big O for all of that.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I love the Big O, and this is very well-deserved for him.
No question. Secondly, Sidney Moncrief, the Big Ugly Tailgate was talking about Sidney Moncrief, and that brought back some good memories. We lived in Little Rock, Arkansas, my 8th, 9th, and 10th grade year. Went to Sylvan Hills High School, played American Legion ball with Kevin McReynolds. Actually weren't on the same team, but we ended up playing against one another during some summertime stuff. He went on to play at the University of Arkansas in the Southwest Conference. But Sidney Moncrief, I hadn't thought of this in years, he was featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I think it was in 79. He was the first featured with the tomahawk dunk on the cover of Sports Illustrated, which was one of the first posters that I ever had in my room. That was kind of a cool memory for me.
That's awesome.
So, air it out. Here we are, quarterbacks and receivers from the great state, obviously, but also from Oklahoma, around the Edmond area, New Mexico, and of all places, New York, up in Rochester, New York, participating in the Air It Out Academy. Why? Because they're locked up like an all cheese diet up in New York, and they need a place to come work out.
He better leave his salsa up there.
Yeah, no question. Jerry Pettibone is here, you know, who played at OU and coached under Switzer, also coached at A&M. He's here. About 30 to 5 quarterbacks and receivers here. I'll be in studio next week. I head to Austin on Tuesday by way of Fort Worth. Why do I mention Fort Worth? Well, the Longhorns took 2 out of 3 from those beloved Horned Frogs in Fort Worth. And then last night, the University of Louisiana Monroe comes into Fort Worth. And till the 9th inning, the Horned Frogs were being no-hit. No hits for the Purple Kryptonite into the 9th inning. It's a 4-0 game. ULM is up on the Horned Frogs. The Frogs finally get a couple hits, load the bases up, and a base-clearing duck off the wall, and somehow the Frogs get thrown out at the plate for the 3rd out of the bottom of the 9th inning, and the Frogs get beat by ULM 4-3 last night in Fort Worth. The Frogs have one remaining midweek game Tuesday night. I plan to be there against Texas State, probably looking at a potential rainout. And, of course, the Longhorns, who sit at 38-12, they face Rice that same night at Dish Falk. And I tell you, when y'all were talking about the Southwest Conference, you know, when I appreciate you, Brent, talking about me getting to play at TCU. All the fact that I got to play and was recruited to play TCU is nothing more of an indicator of how much improved the TCU recruitment system has become. Because there's no business for me to having got a chance to be there. But we always Bragg Stockton was our coach there, Dr. Bragg Stockton. And the late Bragg Stockton, who's famous for skills and drills, and a texter will probably have attended his skills and drills camps. But he always told us, if we can get to 40 wins, we're going to Omaha, almost automatically. I don't know if he meant Omaha, but he felt like if you got 40 wins, the likelihood of getting to Omaha through the NCAA was going to happen. We never got to 40 wins, of course. Longhorns are two games away from getting to 40 wins. Of course, that's probably going to happen in the Big 12 tournament, or certainly before then, because they still got to go play, you know, West by God, Virginia. And it looks like the Frogs are going to be right there as well. The Frogs still have a one-game lead in the Big 12, but I tell you, this thing's up for grabs. And, you know, when they go play the Big 12 conference, coaches have really got to pay attention to their ego. This is the conference tournament is important, but really it's a tune-up for the tournament, the big tournament, the big dance. And you really got to pay attention to injuries, arms, fingernails, all those types of things, and don't get caught up in winning the Big 12 tournament. And you win the battle but lose the war, type deal.
I hear you there.
So, what have I been up to besides trying to, you know, do discipline and keep my wife from buying more throw pillows? Well, we've got a wedding that we're planning. We've got a wedding that we're planning. We've already committed two wedding vows. We schedule it on the Saturday in November during football season, and we schedule it on the 13th, which for baseball guys, not particularly a choice you'd like to make, but thankfully it's not Friday the 13th. The good news is the bride, my daughter, and her fiance, who's an Oklahoma State Cowboy, they're in love. It's great. But no, there will be no open bar, because they were talking about open bars. I heard Johnny for mayor talking about an open bar at a crawfish boil today. And look, you know, when you have an open bar at a wedding, after about 3 hours of open bar, then the 24-year-olds just start ordering doubles, and then they leave a double. They can't remember where they left. They go get another double. Next thing you know, your little wedding is got a $10,000 or more tab on it, and the texters will, you know, call me cheap and all that sort of stuff. But that's just the way it is. There will be no open bar at the Flowers wedding. There will be great beer, great wine, and a signature cocktail, I might add.
Ooh, what is that cocktail? Can you divulge?
That's up to the bride to come up with.
You have any Bridezilla moments yet?
Yes, but that's for a discussion off the air. when I'm in studio next Saturday. So here at Air It Out is a Longhorn champion, Kyle Jerome. Mm-hmm. Kyle Jerome, a few years younger than Woody Englander, who played golf for the University of Texas. Kyle Jerome also played golf at the University of Texas. And he now is the owner of the Academy of Golf Dynamics, which is right there in Spicewood, Texas. It was formerly in the, I think, Lake Hills or Hills by the Lake or something like that. But now they're out at Spicewood, Texas. He's got his son here in Abilene for the quarterback and receiver academy. Kyle Jerome was a great golfer for the Longhorns, and golfed with some of the great PGA current players out there right now. But, you know, he runs that, is the owner of that, the Academy of Golf Dynamics there in Spicewood, Texas. And I've been impressed with everything that I've talked to him about, and his son as well. I do think, speaking of golf, that it's just a matter of time before Jordan Spieth and Cameron Champ are going to end up in the last round battling to win a championship. And wouldn't it be great to have a Longhorn and an Aggie battling it out in extra holes or in sudden death to win one of these major championships? And both of these guys are playing great golf right now. It could really happen.
Well, sir, I think it'd be awesome if on the 18th hole, Justin Tucker came out to nail a 20-foot putt to beat Cameron Champ.
That is so great and so true as well. I'm just looking at my list here. Again, Big O, can't say enough about the Big O and his success there, and Golf Dynamics. And I appreciate you guys holding it down. Jamie is headed down to Houston, as you mentioned early on. And I'm going to be headed to Austin on Wednesday, and look forward to be back in studio and recording some voiceovers for Chiso's Boots, for example, and a couple of other folks that we're talking to. So, Brent, good to hear your voice.
Yeah, great, Carl. I used to take lessons from Kyle Jerome.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. He's Superman, and he's a great teacher. He didn't help me that much, but he gave it his
yeah,
best
but
shot.
Nothing can help you, man. What are you talking about?
Well, he's still a good man.
Well, you know, he's just started. We were talking this morning before I did a session with all the parents on character development, leader development, and this idea of situational awareness and anticipating where trouble is and eliminating it or certainly avoiding trouble in the area of a lot of different areas for teenagers and those in college. And I was using golf as an analogy because golf, Brent, as you know, there's some military analogies here too. There's a little bit of athleticism to it. There's some marksmanship, some discipline, some humility, strategy. And like I said before, eliminating or identifying trouble and avoiding it. And Kyle Jerome, from our discussions, and he's here every time we do one of these academies in Abilene, I can tell, Brent, that he probably is a very good teacher and coach. It's funny that you mentioned that. Just the way we converse with one another, I can tell that he really is intentional with his words.
Yeah, he's tremendous. I knew a guy named David Pressler who used to be – I think he used to run the hills anyway, but I asked him, I said, who's the best teacher? And he said, Kyle Jerome. So I called him.
That's awesome. Well, he's over there in Spicewood, Texas, the Academy of Golf Dynamics, and you can look them up. It's golfdynamics.com, golfdynamics.com. Kyle Jerome, a Longhorn, great. And he was a freshman when Woody Englander was a senior. Mm-hmm. So they got to play a little bit with one another. Woody, of course, is also a great player for the Longhorns. And it's fun to play with guys that really at the moment of truth can get to do some things with the golf club that I certainly cannot do yet, but I'm trying to get there. But something special happens those last 18 inches right before that club comes through. I can't do yet.
Hey, Colonel, can I say something about Woody Englander? That guy is such a gentleman. He is so nice. He invited me out to play in his golf tournament with you guys. And I'll tell you what, man, that guy is salt of the earth right there.
Yeah, and when you think about what Woody's gone through this past year with the loss of his wife, passed away of cancer, and Alan Wardis. Here in Abilene, running the Air Out Academy, his wife, Sharon Ward, has passed away of cancer a couple of years ago. And now Woody and Alan have become friends and kind of, you know, lean on one another a little bit on going through that grief that just stays with you for forever. And you just deal with it in different ways. And we, I tell you, I have nothing but respect and empathy for both of those men. But great humans, like you said, great people, and I'm glad you got to come out there and enjoy that tournament.
Coach Wardis is a character, man. I love that guy.
He is, and we're going to play in a tournament on Monday here in Abilene. David Thomas is going to join us, and David's playing in a tournament either yesterday or today. I forget which. I don't know if he was at the NFL tournament.
You tell him I said hi. That guy, he's so funny. He got me barbecue spice rub for a gift for meeting him. And I died laughing.
Who did?
Coach Wardis. He's like, Will, nice meeting you. I got you some spice rub. Put this in your gift bag. I bought this for you.
Oh, that's great. I'll mention that to him here in a little bit. But I'm looking forward to seeing the great David Thomas on Monday. And hopefully we're playing in a scramble. I don't know who our fourth is. I know Wardis can hit it. I know Thomas can hit it. I can contribute. It's kind of like the bacon and the egg, you know?
That's right, yeah.
You know, I'm the chick. I can contribute, but the pig's committed that breakfast. And I can contribute a little bit. But David, man, when he's on – It's scary what an elite athlete can do like that, even on the golf course. So, hey, you guys enjoy the rest of your day there, and appreciate you holding it down. I'll be there in Austin around Thursday or so, and I look forward to being back in studio and seeing everybody face-to-face.
Yes, sir.
See you, Colonel.
All right. Johnny Oates.
The Texas Wine of the Week.
Oh, yeah. A little red, red wine. Right, Johnny Oates. Love this part.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, Austin. Welcome to the High Ground. We are leading into our Wilson Goldrick Realty Wine of the Week, brought to you by the great Drew Brown and the Drew Brown family, who's stationed over here in Westlake. You know, everybody needs to reach out to them. If you're going to buy a house, buy some property, reach out to Wilson Goldrick and Drew Brown. Anyways, we are we're going to feature a little wine here, the Brent Dickey Memorial Wine of the Week. We've actually, we're looking for him on Onion Creek last week, and I think Matt Gresson found you on what hole?
It was number four, and, you know, it said I got lost, but I was actually looking for his ball.
Yeah. No kidding. We've been sending out, like, milk cartons looking for you, and the whole time you're just looking for Maddie's lost golf balls.
Yeah, I mean, he hooks it pretty good.
I know. I hear you have about, you know, probably a couple dozen windows in your honor being donated to the Onion Creek Homeowners Association.
Exactly. I keep them in stock now.
So. Well, anyways, we are featuring a 2020. It's a Signor Vineyards and Grenache Rosé. This one's out here for Casey Smith, who's a very, you know, big lover of the Frosé Rosé. This is 100% Grenache Rosé. It's a dry-styled blush wine. It's salmon color with a zesty citrus acidity. The tasting notes kind of mimic watermelon. The harvest date's 9/25/20. Vineyards, Meadowlark Vineyard, Rogue Valley. You know, I can just read off a bunch of other stuff, but this is your wine of the week. It's a rosé. What do you think, man? You like rosés?
Yeah. You know, on occasion, I'm not a huge wine guy, honestly. Yeah. But
I'm like, not either.
The girls seem to like it. So if they like it, then we buy it.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So. Your wife is not afraid to drink some rosé, huh?
She likes her champagne.
Champagne.
Yeah,
is she champagne or?
Pretty much. She's
what's that? Prosecco.
She's kind of high end. You know, it's kind of, you know, if it's vodka, it's Grey Goose.
Uh-huh.
You know. It can't be cheap.
That's why you gotta wake up and go to work.
That's right, man. Every morning. That's why I'm working hard on this job now. So.
That's right. Well, it's so much fun having Brent in the studio this hour. You got anything you want to add? Any sports thing before? We got about 5 minutes left. We can just kind of improv, kind of figure out.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's baseball season, or at least college baseball season. So, you know, I'm excited. You know, obviously, I think Texas and TCU and maybe even Tech, you know, theoretically, you know, they're going to be top 16 seeds.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, theoretically, I'm pretty sure Texas and TCU, unless something really bad happens, are going to be top 8 seeds. So, you know, it'd be nice to have some regionals back at the dish.
I know they announced 20 regional sites, and Texas obviously got that. But I'd like to see I think TCU and Texas are both number one national seeds.
I think so. I mean, they've got to be in the top 8. You know, Tech, you might argue. I mean, shoot, Tech beat both, you know, Texas and TCU.
Yeah, they beat Texas 2 out of 3 here in Austin.
Yeah, and then TCU, I don't know where it was, but they won 2 out of 3 there. So, I mean, obviously, they got a great ball club. So, I don't know. It's just exciting, you know, to have Texas baseball back.
Well, Big 12 athletics have actually been really well ex-football.
Right.
I mean, the basketball's been, you know, basketball all year was just, you know, really competitive. Baseball's really competitive. And then you have Oklahoma and football, and hopefully we can get back to that competitive spot.
I'm ready. You know, it's been a bit.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting season. You know, Iowa State actually is bringing a lot of people back.
Yeah,
that could have gone in the NFL.
They are, and you know, I think they were number 6 on that, you know, top 20, which. I think they have like 20 returning starters or something crazy.
Matt Campbell's a stud coach over there.
I think so. You know, it'll be interesting. I don't know if he's, you know, looking at the NFL or, you know, will want a, you know, a different college job, but I think he could write his own ticket.
Yeah, I agree. But you know what? There's something to, you know, building something there. Kind of like he reminds me of a Bill Snyder type, like Kansas State. I mean, you got your niche and you're really good at it. Keep rolling with it. But who knows? I mean,
yeah.
There's obviously going to be a team to reckon with this coming up year.
I think so. I mean, you know, gosh, you know, if you think about it, I mean, we were a couple of plays from beating them last year. And
coaching, I mean, lost that game.
I don't disagree.
You know, that was just all coaching.
Yeah, it just seems.
They had that game in hand.
Yeah, I'm excited for the future, but I've been excited for the future of the last 3 coaches. So.
Yeah, that's true. You're excited. Everybody's excited. You're all. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid this year.
No.
But by July, I'll have like red lips.
Oh, yeah. It's the same thing.
Or burn orange lips. You know, it'll be all over my face.
Yeah.
You know?
And then when they lose one time, then I'll get mad at it again and kind of just move on. But no, it's exciting. I mean, I think Sark's going to be a good hire.
The great white Sark.
Yeah, the great white Sark. So, you know. Hopefully he's the offensive guru that we need, you know, to match minds with Lincoln Riley.
I agree. I hope so, too. Yeah. I mean, we need that. That's what the Big 12 needs.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, Texas needs. Well, and the Big 12 needs Texas to be good,
they
too.
They do. I mean, if Texas and OU are good teams, then the Big 12 is relevant, mm-hmm. you know?
Does the Big 12 ever get back to 12?
Maybe someday, you know? But I don't know who it's going to be.
Well, Austin, thank you for listening today. It's been great. Brent, it's been fun having you in. Johnny Oates, Colonel on the line. Y'all have a great weekend, and thanks for listening to High Ground. Peace.
Stop, you silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle. That's the thing.